Good evening. I wanted to mention a few things before we get into our lesson. One thing, I want to thank you all for listening so well. One good brother told me he listened so well, when he got home, he did exactly what I told him to do. He got him something to eat. So I thought that was good. I did say that, didn't I? I hope y'all got something good to eat. I do want to say something about Lord willing in the new year. If the Lord is willing, in the new year, I will be teaching, hopefully, some lessons on some of the major false doctrines that are out there religiously. We haven't said quite as much about that, but there are so many false teachers that, since we're talking about building up the church this year, we have to be sound in doctrine. If you've never read the Old Testament or New Testament, then you have no idea probably what I'm saying. But it's filled, both testaments, with scriptures dealing with those that teach false doctrine. And it's important for us to study these. And I did bring, I brought this book in, I mentioned this morning, published in 1909. I'd like you to see it, but if you don't mind, I'll just kind of hold it, because it's a little fragile. But it's got things from our history, just open up to a few places here, written in Army of the American Revolution. And he's got Original Order Book of General Washington, Investigations into Hereditary. It's got the first letter in the United States. So it just has a lot of documents that I didn't realize all of these were in here, which goes to show you can have a great treasure and not even know it, can't you? I hope to read, Lord willing, every bit of it. We said this morning that a preacher by the name of Joseph Emerson kept a journal when he was 25 years old on August the 25th, 1724, in Malden, Massachusetts, that he wrote down in his journal. I think it's remarkable. When I said 301 years ago, that was from his birth. But you'd have to subtract 25 from that when he wrote this down. That's a lot of years, isn't it? More than what we're celebrating with the 250 this year of our nation. I'll read it again. He said, "Read some and studied some. The year is now concluded, and I may well finish my journal as Ames does his almanac. Another year is gone, but ah, how little have we done." I thought it was interesting. I didn't comment on it, but how little have we done? He was thinking about all, not just himself. He says, "Alas," and there are exclamations marks throughout this. "Alas, how little have I done for God, for my own, and for the souls of the people committed to my care." I would be willing to say he probably did a lot more than he said. This seemed to be a very humble man. He said, "I find a great deal amiss. I would fly to the grace of Christ to pardon my defects." And this part we emphasized. "And for his strength to enable me to do more for him this year. If he would, please spare my life." I just thought those were wonderful sentiments. And, of course, God has preserved the book. As far as I'm concerned, God saw to it providentially that I got it. I don't look upon a blessing like that as accidental. I want to mention the points that we're going to study, Lord willing. We mentioned this morning, each day in the new year, let us begin and end the day with a prayer to God. And number two, each day of the new year, let us read and meditate on God's Word. That lays a foundation. Number three, Each day in the new year, let us learn to be content. This is what we hope to begin with tonight. Number four, each day in the new year, let us do good to our fellow man. Number five, each day in the new year, let us be kind, patient, and long-suffering. Number six, each day in the new year, let us use our precious time more wisely. And number seven, each day in the new year, let us draw nearer to God. I do not know about everyone here, but I can tell you that those are challenging for me. Those are challenging for me. And they're just basic fundamental things that are taught in the New Testament. But we're talking about things that will help us to have a better life. Things that will help people about us to have a better life. Excuse me. So we begin with, each day in the new year, let us learn to be content. From that statement, and I would ask you later on, read the fourth chapter of Philippians. And you'll see a more drawn out context that we're not going to read it all this evening. But Paul said that he had to learn. It's not something that's just instinctive, not something that is in us just by nature. But Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Sometimes he had more than other times. I would say that's probably true of everyone here. And hopefully you will be blessed spiritually and physically. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as we're not seeking to be rich. We don't need to seek to be rich. You don't have to turn down pay raises. It's good to be happy when you get one. It's all right. But we don't ever seek to be rich, because the Bible would condemn that, and we'll fall into a snare. Some never are satisfied and content with the simple things in life. I don't know that I've even ever said it here, but as far as congregations, I've always loved being at State Street and chose this congregation. You were one time praying for me, and I was praying to come here, right? I don't think we need to complain too much about it. But I believe that people in this area, some of you, most of you are from this area, are what we call, the Bible calls, the common people. And I enjoy being with people doesn't matter how much education or money or anything. In my judgment, the people in this area are just really good people that are concerned about so many others. So the simple things in life, things that you cannot put a value on. I didn't bring it up, but I noticed we were singing in that song a few moments ago, and I thought it was perfect selection. There are things worth more than silver and gold. You know, we sing these songs, and I know next thing you know, we've sung two or three songs, but let those things kind of sink down in your heart, because there are things worth more than silver and gold. And maybe when we have a little less, that'll help us to learn to be content, to be satisfied. Some people are never content, no matter what. They could get millions of dollars and billions of dollars, they're still not satisfied. I hope that we will look at the simple things of life. What are the simple things? I have a list of a few here. Love. You don't need money and possessions to love people and for people to love you. Kindness. There's not a human being, I don't believe, that does not appreciate some kindness. Compassion, that means to suffer with. We have so many people that are sick in the congregation. It's true of all congregations. From time to time, we go out of town and visit, have a vacation, or perhaps visit a family. And all congregations, they've got lists longer than ours sometimes. So it means to suffer with. We feel for others because of their pain and sickness. I appreciated Brother Jerry's prayer when he said over and over, about our blessings and bless the Lord. And I thought about Psalm 103. It begins and ends with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The whole psalm deals with God and His blessings and how we bless Him. Wisdom. Wisdom's something that we all need. I believe all Christians have some wisdom. We have to grow in it. Sometimes we just do not act wisely. Is that true? Is that true? I don't care who you are, sometimes you just don't act wisely. Joy. And that's something that is extremely important in our lives. Even there are times that you're going to be sick, and you brother know more about this than I do, but you're going to be sick, and it's not going to be a time of joy, right? But there are other times when we're in adverse circumstances that we can try and look for to have some joy. And it doesn't cost us any money, does it? You can have joy. And I know that there are others here that have brought great joy to our lives. Your prayers bring joy. They do. It's a joy to know that people are praying for you. I was looking, actually, this afternoon in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8. The Levites, and Ezra included, got up and read from the book of the law of God. And the people stood for half a day listening to the word of God being preached. Some of them started crying. They started weeping because they had come so short. And he told them not to do that. It was good that they heard the law. It was good that they saw that they needed to change. But he gave the advice that I gave this morning. Now listen to this. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. See? It's right in the Bible. Eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. In other words, there were some that evidently were not present. And he said, you send them portions. You take them some food. You give those that need it some food. And then he says, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. Listen to this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy gives us strength. You have to work at it, in my judgment. I'm not saying I do all this stuff all the time. I don't think anybody, but we can work on these things. Then the family. You've been blessed with a family, whatever it is. Maybe it's a small family. Maybe it's like Richard's. Richard does have a big family. He comes from a big family. The family means so much. Friends. Everybody should have friends. I believe everybody here has friends. Take some time for friends. Now, that takes some effort to do that. And your health. That's something that whatever portion of health that we do have, and we're good enough to come here, so that is a great blessing. Malcolm and Nell and Todd and so many others, Audrey and her son are pretty sick. They're not able to be here. Tammy sent a message, I guess, to Richard, and she was not able to be here this morning. But we have the long list. Brother Doss, we could just go down, pray for them. But God blesses us with health, and we have been blessed to be here tonight. Enjoy each new day. God blesses us with the days. Enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life and looking for something to good. I teach my grandchildren. I guess it's about the second rule that I've taught them. If you look for something good, you will find something good. If you look for something bad, you will find something bad. Some people are always looking for bad things. Always sorry. Can't have any joy, any happiness. So look for something good. Even in times of trial and difficulty, the Apostle Paul said he had learned this. You learn things when you suffer, don't you? He had learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. You say, how do you do that? Let's say if you come up to me and say, how do you learn to be content? Well, I will tell you what it begins with. It begins with trusting in the Lord. Not being worrying about it. Trusting in the Lord. I don't think you could be content without trusting in the Lord. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord and do what is right. So that brings us to this point. Each day in the new year, let us do good to our fellow man. I'm certain that you've watched the news. You see all the hatred. They call this a freedom of speech. That I know that we certainly do have freedom of speech. But it does upset me when I see them spitting and throwing things and hurting people, and they call it a protest. That's not a protest. That's a breaking the law. These individuals have no concept of what the Bible teaches to do good to our fellow man. They have no concept. The reason they have no concept is that they don't have God. We pity these people. They wouldn't like you to say that, but I know we pity them because they don't have joy. They don't have a joyful life. They're not satisfied, and we are living in the most blessed nation, and hands down, in the history of the whole world. Never have they had such medical places, hospitals, the food that we have, so many things can't be, and the freedoms. And I've noticed that the devil will look for anything that he can find to destroy a nation, and I've noticed now he's attacking our Constitution. You say, what does this have to do? It has a lot to do with it, because these individuals they're not happy, they don't have joy, they don't have God, they don't even know the basic fundamental moral principles in the Bible. I will say this, you study it yourself, but even the heathen nations, these idolaters, listen carefully, they had a set of morals. They knew what adultery was, okay? They knew what murder was. They had a set of morals. They knew what it meant for somebody to steal something. They had laws against that. Since the beginning of time, there have always been a moral standard. And even the wicked nations kept many of the morals that are in the Word of God. No, they didn't keep all of them, but they kept many of them. But it just seems like it would be such a more wonderful world if people would help their fellow man. And I will say this, we have a lot of people in this area that do that. I see it in the news all the time. I don't know if you saw it last night, but a young mother, and it had her picture, and it had a picture of her two daughters. I think it was on the Facebook. And they had a fire here in Sullivan County, and she lost both of her young daughters. Isn't that sad? That's, you talk about someone with a burden. But I think that people will help her. This community is a community like that. The congregation is that way. Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is from whom it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. We all are going to have circumstances where we can do good and do it. Don't withhold good when it's in power of thine hand to do it. I think that's very close to Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So as we have opportunity, we have opportunities throughout the year, do good unto all men. And I want to emphasize that. We do good to our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, especially those of the household of faith. God has a family. It's called the household of faith. But he says, let us do good unto all men. And then a verse that would revolutionize some congregations, certainly would revolutionize our nation and other nations, and these people that I talked about a little earlier that can't seem to find any joy in the world. Matthew chapter 7 and 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, there's a lot in here And you read the law and the prophets, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, etc. You got all these prophets. Some of them were not writing prophets. You got a mighty big book there in the Old Testament. And he says, you know, it comes down to this is the law and the prophets. We word it, do good unto others as you would have them do unto you. That would help our nation so much. It'll help us so much. And then a lawyer. Now, their lawyers were lawyers of the law of Moses. And they studied it. They were expert at it, seemingly. Looks like they missed a lot. But a lawyer asked Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And we just told you there's a lot in here. So you read the Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You read all of that. There's a lot of commandments in there. Hundreds and hundreds of commandments. And evidently, it was something that was commonly discussed. What's the greatest one? And Jesus answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And when Mark writes about it, he says, And with all thy strength. And he said, This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Here it is. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, to love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. You got all of that in that Old Testament. You got the law and the prophets. Of course, there's devotional material as well, but he says everything hangs on those two things, and that will help us to have a better year. If you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, three times in the New Testament we read about obeying the gospel, and I would encourage you to obey the gospel, to obey Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you'll have to come. You don't come on your terms. You're a sinner. You're lost. You come on His terms. And when you do, you're not earning your salvation. When a man believes that he's the Son of God, he's not earning his salvation. He's just doing what God said to do. God gave all this evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When you repent of your sins, you're not working your way to heaven somehow by some merit of your own. On the contrary, it shows that you don't have all that merit. The same is true with confessing the faith in Christ or being buried with your Lord in baptism. It's an act of faith. It's a simple act of faith to obey the gospel and be faithful unto death. If you're an erring child of God, take it seriously. This is the time you have. Come to the Lord as we stand and sing.